We'll continue our series on God's abundance today with daily living. Last time we talked about eternal life, which is great, but today we'll get into daily living, our life on earth here. There are those in Christianity that focus so much on eternal life and the return of the Lord that they forget about living every day. And of course there are people that go the other way that focus so much on daily living they forget that the Lord's coming back. We try to do both. As you may have heard me say before, many people like to talk about the joy of eternal life and the return of the Lord. What was the statement people used for that? I can't remember. There was some statement they used. But what I came up with... Is it's not just eternal life and the return of the Lord, but it's mirth on the earth from your rebirth. Not a very exactly biblical, but it worked. But that was a play on the other phrase about eternal life. I can't remember. But at any rate, we want to have mirth on the earth from your rebirth. We want to enjoy life every day and then have the return of the Lord to look forward to. So on a day when we're having a super day and we're just loving life, we just say, this is great, and it gets even better when the Lord returns. On a day when everything's not the way we want it and we're not at all happy with it, then we remember, I'm going to get through this, and then the Lord's going to return. It'll be great. Either way, it'll be great. So today is about mirth on the earth from your rebirth. Starting Deuteronomy chapter 32. So much about life, living life today. We can only sort of skim along the surface of it, today's teaching, but it'll be fun. So here we go in Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 44. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea, or Joshua, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day. Don't just get them in your mind intellectually, but really set your hearts on them. Let them sink deep inside. Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is what? Your life. It's your life. God's word is our life. By living God's word every day, dwelling on it, praying, thanking God for his goodness, it's our life. And through this thing, you shall prolong your days in the land, whither you go over Jordan to possess it. See, Camille, that's the kind of verse. There are a lot of verses like that in Proverbs. Prolonging your life is supernatural. Because without the power of God, especially in that day and time, and even so today, your life may be cut short. So prolonging it is a supernatural thing. Good. So this word is not a vain thing. It's not empty. It's not a waste of time. It is your life. God's word is our life. And then we go to Ecclesiastes. Oh, I know what it was a takeoff on. A lot of people would say about Christianity, oh, that's just a bunch of pie in the sky when you die. And it's sort of true. It's pie in the sky when the Lord returns. And that's true. There are great things about the return. But it's not just pie in the sky when you die. It's also mirth on the earth from your rebirth. So we got both. I like cherry pie myself, but that's okay. I'll eat any kind of pie. Deuteronomy 32, went to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. I knew there was a connection there. It just took my brain a while to get in. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 2. And verse 24. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. See, it's good to do all the great things we do. We read the Bible, we pray, we speak to people about God's word, we help people in need. These are wonderful things. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in that, we forget that so much of the basis of life is just living life, just trusting God to live. It's easy to get to where, if you're not, you know, running around preaching to the Bithynians, like, or the Phrygians, or whoever else Paul went to talk to, or didn't go to talk to, you figure that, gee, I'm not really much of a Christian. Well, you just got to live your life. You just got to enjoy your life. And the only way you'll win people to the Lord, well, not the only way, but a large part of it is your example. If you're enjoying life, and God is doing things to bless you, people will see that. And just living a life that you enjoy is a huge part of what God's called us to do. It's like so many things, there's a balance there. We cannot neglect the things of God, like reading the Word, living the Word, speaking the Word. But we also can't neglect just enjoying life. And the other part that I don't have in the notes here, but maybe we'll talk about it next time, is the body of Christ. We all play a different part in the body of Christ. And I think one of the worst things people can do is get so worried that they're not some other part of the body. Because we all have things we do to help God's people. We all have ways we serve and help God's word live and grow. But then we have other ways we're not as good at, and we don't do as much. And you know, like, I haven't raised very many people from the dead this week, and I could get really, really condemned because I haven't, you know, been raising people from the dead. But as far as I can tell, that's not something God's called me to or given me the revelation for. So rather than worry about it, I'll think about, well, what can I do? You know, and we all have ways we can live and grow and help God's people. And we should just do that and enjoy it. And if there's an area we'd like to grow in, we can pray and ask God to help us. And he may, or he may just say, that's not your part in the body. Let somebody else worry about it. And the more I do that, the more life is just grand. Because they're all things we all do every week that help God's people. And then there are other things we either are no good at, or we just forget to do, or we don't do. Well, why worry about it? You know, if your foot is all worried about, you know, reading Proverbs, it's going to be a very grumpy foot. But if your eyes and your brain get all worried that they can't run to the corner, then they're pretty silly too. They each have their part. If the foot does its job and gets you down to the corner to check the mail or buy a carton of milk, it's doing its job. If your brain and eyes do their job and read Proverbs and pray, and your mouth does its job and talks to somebody about whatever you have to talk about, now the body's working, and we each have our part to play. So that's why whatever your work is here, what's it say? Let's look at this again. If Ecclesiastes 2:24, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. In his labor, whatever he's doing. So whatever you got to do, whether it's work or school or somehow supporting the fellowship or somehow helping people in need or somehow praying for people or somehow walking in love to help somebody, just get into that. What's it say? We may get into this in the next one in Ecclesiastes. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no wisdom nor device or something in the grave whither thou goest. So whatever you got to do, get into it. And if God opens another door, great. I remember vividly this. this is back when I was in college. A bunch of people from a bunch of different fellowships, we all converged on this high school dance. And I decided I was going to witness to 16 people and invite them all to fellowship. Well, what happened was there were like 5 people there that had each started a fellowship at their schools and were really confused about what to do. And I'd been running a fellowship for like 2 or 3 years, so I had a little more experience than they did. So I spent my whole time just talking to these people. And I never got to witness to the 16 people I wanted to. And I could have gotten all condemned that I didn't do that. But God had other projects for me. I just remember sitting on this step and these people just kept coming by with all these questions. And I've seen that at other times in life where I really wanted to do something because I thought this is the cool thing to do to serve God. But there was something other very much more simple, like paying the rent or going to work or, praying for some person or reading Proverbs and keeping my head in the Word. So I stayed positive. There's always so many things you can do as a Christian. And I don't know about you, but I've seen it in my life and many other people's lives. We have a bad habit of getting condemned about the things we don't do, mm-hmm. instead of being thankful for the ways we can serve and just getting into it and enjoying it. So if whatever is, before you to do, if you just do it, trusting God and believing God and enjoying it, that's a great way to live. What's it say in Philippians? Wheresoever we've attained, let us mind the same things. And if you be in any otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Mm-hmm. I mean, just get into whatever you got before you to do. And if you need to do something else, God will show you. It's just such a simple way to life. Just get up in the morning and say, well, I got these three things to do, and I'm going to go do them. And I'm going to do them the very best way I can with great joy and thanksgiving and prayer. And I'm going to enjoy that. And then if something else pops up, God can show you that. And you just don't worry about all the other stuff. That's somebody else's job in the body of Christ. Picture if you worked at a big company like General Motors, and your job was, you're making jet engines, and your job was to screw in this one fan blade. And instead, you got worried about the guy in accounting working on the insurance policy. Well, you can't do a lot about the guy in accounting on the insurance policy, but you can screw that fan blade into that engine. If you do it well and you do it right, it won't rattle and the plane won't crash. So be really good at that one thing if that's your job. Same thing, if you're the guy up in accounting and all you're trying to do is get a better deal on insurance, you don't have to know anything about the fan blades. And you probably don't. Because you probably went to accounting school and they didn't teach you about fan blades. So that's okay. You get into what you're good at and everybody does okay, and it's the same way in the body of Christ. We each have our ways to serve, and we know what we're good at. We know how we can serve. We know how we can bless people, and let's just get into that and enjoy it. Like I say, if you want to grow into something else, pray about it. Read about it, but don't get upset about it, because you, like that guy who's doing the fan blade, he may want to go to business school and become the accountant. But he may not pass the entrance exam. He may flunk out. He may try being an accountant and decide he hates it. Or he might end up being the CFO in a couple years. But the point is, until he gets through all that, why worry about it? Just put in those fan blades and enjoy those fan blades and go by the airport and see the planes flying and think, that's cool. I may put that fan blade in there. See, there's fan blades on those, and somebody did a good job. They're not rattling. They're different fan blades, but same idea. All right, let's get back to the notes here. Okay, so nothing better than a soul should enjoy in all his labor. Ecclesiastes 5:18. Behold, Ecclesiastes 5:18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely. It's attractive, appropriate. For one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for this it is his portion. That's his piece of the action. That's his take. Is to eat and drink and enjoy your life. And we should. We should. We can't get all wrapped up in the other things and get all worried about them. There's so many people that will want to get you worried about stuff. Just read a paper, turn the radio on, talk to your neighbor. Everybody has something you ought to get upset about. And that's different. If there's something you can do to help in some area of life, sure, go help if you feel it's appropriate. But basically, don't worry about it. Eat, drink, and enjoy your life. Life goes on. It's so much simpler. Now look at John 10:10. Very popular verse. When I play racquetball, if the score is 10-10, I call it a John. If the score is 5-10, I call it a little John. If it's 10-5, I call it a John Little. I got all these nutty things. None of that's biblical. It's just me remembering the score. Okay, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil's job. I, Jesus Christ said, am come that they might have life and that they might live it more abundantly. Now that word life is the Greek word zoe. We get our words like zoology from it, and zoo. They come from that word, Greek word zoe. And it means life in every aspect. There's another life, psyche, like psych, which means soul life, you know, body, soul, and spirit. There's another life, I think bio, that we get biology from. It has to do with your livelihood, you know, earning money and paying the bills. So it's different aspects, but zoe is the word that means life in all of its aspects. So Jesus Christ came that we could have a rich, full life and prosper in every part of it. So he didn't come just so we could have eternal life. He didn't come just so we could have spiritual life. He didn't come just so we could have prosper emotionally or financially or any other way. He came so that all of life would work. And that's important to know, because sometimes we get the idea that our walk with God and Christianity is just for some little sort of spiritual church part of our life, then everything else is different. God wants to take care of every part of our life. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And more abundantly is interesting because the way it's written in Greek, it could literally be translated more than abundantly. It's just this incredibly powerful word, just a whole bunch of everything. And then you think of things like Ephesians 3:20, where it's, what's it say? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. God's really capable. We just have sometimes such limited vision. We try one little thing, and if it doesn't work, we go, oh, gee, everything fell apart. Well, God's got a zillion other ways to take care of you. I mean, like, look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, look what he had. He had, I mean, obviously there are times he did dumb things, like going to Jerusalem when he shouldn't have. But there were times where there were people that should have backed him up, that stoned him to death instead. And there, you know, there were other people that should have helped him. And, you know, they went after him. And he had so many things that went wrong. But God still took care of him, you know. You know, remember he said that he was in Asia, you know, all Asia heard the word of God, but then in 1 Timothy, but in 2 Timothy, they all abandoned him. He could have gotten really bummed out. Maybe he did, but he kept speaking the word. And you see this with everybody. Moses, he had a fellowship of a couple million people. And they frequently wanted to stone him. But he kept looking to God, and God took care of him. It's like that throughout the scriptures. Jesus Christ, you know, one of his 12 apostles, ratted on him. And then everybody else ratted on him. The high priests, you know, screamed to get him crucified. The people that should have been backing him up, because he was fulfilling the scriptures that they were supposed to be speaking and standing up for. So it happens all the time in life where something you think should support you doesn't, but God comes through. And that's the thing to realize. Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Not necessarily your neighbors or the people in the community or some other group that ought to be backing you up. They might not. But God will always be there. Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, Romans chapter 1. This is one of the most radical things. You've probably heard of Martin Luther. He was one of the most prominent people in what we call the Reformation, where in the late Middle Ages, around the 15th, 16th century, people were starting to realize that the Roman Catholic Church had gotten a little too into tradition and ceremony and not too much into the Bible, and they decided they needed to reform the church and get back to the scriptures. And Martin Luther was a German monk, and he was wondering about whether he even believed God anymore. He couldn't figure out how to live the scriptures. He couldn't figure out how to trust God. And then he was assigned the job of teaching the book of Romans in the monastery where he worked. and he got through chapter 1 and then got down to verse 16 and saw something that radically changed his life and the history of Christianity. He says here in Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also in the Greek, to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Because he, like anybody in any religious order, was so surrounded by rules and regulations and things he had to do that he couldn't live up to, he was just all discouraged. But when he read, "The just shall live by faith," it's simply a matter of believing God. It changed his life, and like I say, it changed Christianity. Because instead of the many, many, many rules and paying for indulgences and praying to saints and all the different things that had come to mark the Roman Catholic Church, he stripped it all away and went back to "the just shall live by faith." Now, something you'll find is that the nature of perhaps all groups, perhaps all religious groups, perhaps all groups of any type, but very clearly in Christianity, the nature is to start out with something simple like that and then add a lot of rules. And you go to any Christian group today, and they may say, "Sure, the just shall live by faith," but then they give you 20 rules, and if you don't follow them and do them exactly the way they want, you know, they'll condemn you and judge you and tell you what a ungodly person you are. And that's been the nature of Christianity forever. Like, well, a great example is the who we think of as the Pilgrims, the group that settled the Massachusetts Bay Colony. They went from England, where they were persecuted, to the Netherlands, where they were persecuted, finally got on the Mayflower, landed at Plymouth Rock. And they went because they were persecuted. They couldn't worship God as they saw fit. So they landed there, they set up their colony, and then they immediately started persecuting anybody that didn't agree with them. Because they weren't really looking for religious freedom. They didn't believe in religious freedom. They believed that everybody should worship the way they thought. And that's still a fight we're having in our country today. I do not believe the Christian right believes in religious freedom. I think they believe everybody's got to be their way, or the highway. And although I agree everybody should believe in Jesus Christ, I think we need a country where you're free to worship the way you want. Because if we don't, sooner or later somebody will come after us. Whereas if we have a country where you can worship any way you want, that means two things. One, I got to put up with a bunch of people I don't agree with, whether I like it or not. But if I don't go after them, they can't come after me. And so that it's a continual fight. But at any rate, Christianity is always going to get away from "the just shall live by faith" to "the just are the ones that agree with my theology and act the way my group does." Not that you've ever seen that among your homeschoolers here, so you would have no experience with that. But that's the history of Christianity, and it's going to continue. And that's why I'm so careful with our group to do nothing but just teach the word and let people live their lives, because otherwise it would be so easy to pick my particular thoughts about any topic, you know, culture, politics, natural foods, you know, herbal medicine, pick something that somebody wants to worry about, and I could go off on a tirade, and if you don't do it my way, you're really not very spiritual. Whereas the way you're spiritual is get born again, operate the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. No matter what you eat for breakfast, no matter who you vote for, no matter what kind of doctor you go to, or pick any other thing you want to do that Christianity has gone nuts over. There's probably hundreds of other topics I'm not bringing up. But the just shall live by faith. And you see, that's something you can handle. To sort out all these other things can be drive you nuts. But I've got to believe God. I've got to pray and trust that God will take care of me. I can do that. But I can't keep the 100 Christian groups in the world that have some pet peeve about something, I can't keep them all happy, because they all contradict each other anyway. You know, like we've said before, if you want to look at all the verses about taking care of the poor, you might conclude God's a Democrat. If you want to take all the verses about trusting God and being self-sufficient, you might conclude God's a Republican. And I'm not going to get in that fight. You get to pick whichever side you like and vote the way you want. But you're just not going to keep everybody happy with their particular religious views. So what we can do, though, is we can each pray and believe God. The just shall live by faith. And that's the great way of abundant living, is simply trust God every day. Simply trust God every day. Okay, I better get going. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's something a lot of people think. I've got the grace of God, so let's go nuts. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. See, we have a newness of life because we're born again. Old man's dead. We can walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together with in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. And then it goes on and on. But the point is, because Jesus Christ died to sin, sin has no more power over him, and we also took part in his death and resurrection in the new birth. So rather than be all worried about what everybody's worried about, the just shall live by faith, knowing Jesus Christ paid for our sins, and we're living in newness of life. It's a great way to live. Then it goes on and talks a little bit more about it in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now people may condemn us, but God doesn't. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because when we're walking by the Spirit of God, it's sort of we're on a higher plane, and the stuff here doesn't matter. Think of it. You're on an airplane. You're flying over Oklahoma. They're having a flood. Everybody's cars are washing down the road. That's terrible. But does it really affect you at 35,000 feet? No, you're sort of on a higher plane. Well, that's the way it is when we walk by the Spirit of God. A lot of stuff in this world is just not a big deal. So many people spend so much time being so worried about so many things in the world. I try to avoid that. I try to avoid focusing on the fact that we're walking in newness of life. Jesus Christ already paid for our sins. The old man is dead. The just shall live by faith. And there's no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. So let's not get so worried about so many things in this world. Let's have a higher vision and live on a higher plane. Let's read that again. For there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who what? Walk not after the flesh, or according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So that's the great life we have, to be spiritually minded. Let's keep going on a little bit. Verse 5. For they that are after according to the flesh do mind or think about things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit think about things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, to have just the thoughts of the flesh, is death. But to be spiritually minded, to think at that higher plane, is life and peace. So that's what we want, is to be spiritually minded. That's where we have life and peace. Because we're thinking about God and His deliverance and everything we have in the new birth. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, verse 7, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh, just focused on the things of this world, cannot please God. We need to think higher and think bigger about what we have in the new birth. That's where our life is. That's where our newness of life is picturing ourselves walking with God, by the Spirit of God, in newness of life. The just shall live by faith. It's just a different way to look at your life. And then there are other verses we don't have in the notes today, like our citizenship is in heaven. So we're ambassadors for Christ. This is not our home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are here as ambassadors for Christ. But this isn't our citizenship. And that's a great thing. We have diplomatic immunity from all of the garbage in this world. Isn't that great? Ah, good stuff. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, Romans 12. A couple here to wrap up. Romans 12. So it is part of God's abundance. It's helping us in our daily living. Just every day we live abundantly, knowing that God's there to take care of us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, mental pressure, challenges. You're going to have challenges and mental pressure, but be patient. Continue instant in prayer. Just persist in prayer. Don't give up. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind, or think not about high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't think you know everything. Recompense or repay to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. As if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. See, that's part of our abundance of daily living, is that we can live peaceably with all men. We don't have to go out and raise a ruckus and cause trouble everywhere. It's funny, sometimes people get in my Uber car and they say, well, don't you get crazy people, and it doesn't drive you nuts, and don't they argue with each other in Uber pool? And, no. I've had one or two mildly annoying people, but basically, everybody gets along fine. I just live peaceably with all men. I'm not looking out for a fight, and if you just have the attitude that you're going to live peaceably with people, it's amazing how peaceably you can be. But there's some people that just want to cause a fight, and they just got to argue, and they got to scream, and they got to complain, and you know, I've dealt with people through the years, you know, can hardly go to McDonald's with them without them starting a fight over their service or the quality of their food or something. I don't know why you'd want to live that way. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And then one to wrap up here in Timothy. There we go, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So look at that in verse 2, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And this is interesting. This word life here is the word bios, which is the one I said dealt more with your physical life and livelihood, just sort of your daily life. we can want, God wants us to live a quiet and peaceable life. So just things work, you know. You know, the trash is picked up, the roads are plowed. You know, the public officials take care of stuff. Quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So we want to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And the way we do it is pray for kings and all that are in authority. That's what we do. So that's the number one responsibility we have as Christians when it comes to government. We live in a free society where we have the right to vote and comment and protest. And we have every right to do that. But as far as a biblical admonition, it's to pray for leaders and all that are in authority. And that's the number one thing we want to do as Christians. But if God leads you to do something else, go for it. If God tells you, you ought to do what he says, whatever it is. But the one he talks about in the Word is pray for leaders and all that are in authority, which I'm highly, highly in favor of. Well, part of God's abundance is our daily living. Just to review, Deuteronomy said God's Word is not a vain thing, it's your life. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing better than to enjoy good in all your labor. And actually says it twice, it's good and comely to enjoy the good of all your labor. And Jesus Christ came that we might have life in every aspect more than abundantly. And Romans 1, as Martin Luther discovered, the just shall live by faith. And we're to walk in newness of life, not focusing on the old man and all his problems and shortcomings, but on the new man and what we have in the new birth. Because to be spiritually minded, to think about the things of the Spirit of God, is life and peace. But to just focus on the things in the physical world is death. We're to, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. And by praying for leaders and all in authority, we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So it's part of the abundance God gives us, is that our daily living can be rich and full and peaceful. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, for your kindness, for the wonderful saints here and those that will listen to this on the website. May you bless them abundantly, and may they continue to grow with you and be blessed in all that they do. May the next couple of weeks be filled with trusting you, praying, and living very peacefully, knowing that we are seated in the heavenlies, knowing that we are ambassadors for Christ, and knowing that the just shall live by faith. Thank you for this and your great love in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, guys.
Another good one. Thank you.